I was just telling Kelsey how amazing her children's sermons are and how they could be the sermon. And there you go again, Kelsey, telling you. Okay. So before I have you stand for the gospel, I just want to give you a tiny bit of context. Just so you know, we've skipped a chapter. We skipped chapter 12, where some important things happen. Mary, Lazarus's sister, washes, or not washes, but anoints Jesus's feet with that really costly perfume and dries them off with her hair. And then there's the triumphal entry, which we usually hear on Palm Sunday, which is why we skipped it, because we'll hear it on Palm Sunday. And then today, it brings us to the foot washing that Kelsey was just talking about. And John's version of the foot washing is different than all the other gospel writers. They all have this story take place during Passover. But for John, it happens before Passover, which is why we're hearing it earlier than we normally would. We normally don't hear it until Maundy Thursday, but we're hearing it a little earlier because that's where John places it in his timeline of telling the story. So then come Maundy Thursday, we'll listen to a different gospel writer's version. And in that version, we'll also have the institution of communion, you know, that first communion where we get the words of institution. John doesn't include that in this story. So like in everything else, John is just a little different. So knowing all of that, I'll have you stand for the gospel. The gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For Jesus knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So my favorite line from that gospel reading is, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that verse because I think it sort of summarizes Jesus' life and ministry. He loved the world, all the people that God had given to him. He loved them in everything that he did. And he loved them all the way up to the end. It's what motivated everything that Jesus did, and it's what led him to the cross, that love. And that same love is what led to this humble act of service for his friends, this foot washing. So I think this verse really sets the stage for what is happening in this strange story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Kelsey already talked a little bit about foot washing in the ancient Near East. It was a necessary thing because they walked around in sandals and barefoot on dusty roads that had manure and mud and dirt, and their feet were gross. You're not wrong. And so to go into someone's home, the first thing that you would do would be to wash your feet. And I think it was Adeline, I think I recognized her little voice, that suggested just giving them a bucket of water. And that is actually what they usually did. The host would give their guests a bowl of water, and they would wash their own feet most often. Now, a really wealthy homeowner might have a slave that they would then have wash their guests' feet. But it wasn't something that a non-slave would do for someone else. That just wasn't done. In the rare occasion that someone would stoop to do that, it was this extreme sign of devotion that they were offering. So Jesus stooping to wash his disciples' feet, it wasn't just an act of etiquette or hospitality. It was this extreme sign of devotion and love. So what had the disciples done to deserve this extreme love and devotion? Not a thing. Not a thing. In fact, we're even told that the devil had already gotten to Judas. His heart had already been turned against Jesus. And yet, Jesus still washed Judas's feet. He knew what Judas was going to do, that he would be turning him over to be crucified. And Jesus still washed his feet, along with all the others, which I think is this powerful example of the shockingly and offensively inclusive love that God offers. Not even that. I mean, I think Judas sets the bar. Is it really high or really low? I don't know what we want to call it, but we're not even going to approach that level, right? And yet, even Judas received this extreme love from Jesus. And then there's Peter. Peter, who once again completely misses the point. That's kind of his thing. It's what Peter does. But twice in the story, he gets it so wrong. The first time, he objects sort of on the grounds of social convention. Like, this is not how things are done, Jesus. This is not appropriate for you to be washing my feet. And then when Jesus pushes back and says, this is important, and I need to do this for you, once again, Peter completely misses the point. He's offered this complete sign of giving and devotion, and he says, I want more. Give me more. So once again, totally doesn't get it. And yet, Jesus washes his feet, which is such good news for us that no matter how badly we screw up, like Judas, or no matter how badly we miss it and we don't get it, what it is that God is doing for us? God still loves us. Jesus' extreme love and devotion is still for us. Another historical and contextual detail that is pretty important here is that this entire story took place in a society that was an honor-based society. So everything was done, every decision that was made took into account, does this bring honor or does this bring shame on me and then by extension onto my family? Honor was the most important thing. So in this society where to be honored and not to bring shame on yourself or your family, it is in this culture that Jesus stoops to do this task that only a slave would ever do for someone else. He's the teacher. He's the one they're looking to and following, but he has chosen this humble act of love and service. And it's hard to really fully explain that in our context, but for the disciples, this would have been shocking. It would have gone against everything they'd been taught in their society. And then Jesus tells them that this is what they are also to do, and that this is where their blessing and their honor will be found, in this humbleness, in this service, inequality. It really destroyed that hierarchical structure that they lived within. It went against everything that they knew. And now, like I said, it's hard to fully translate that into our culture because we don't live in an honor-based society. It's hard to really wrap our brains around how shocking this would have been. I tried to think of a modern example or what it would mean for us, and I thought, well, we live in a society where money is the thing that is most valued. So whereas for them, honor equaled power and prestige and position and security, I think probably the closest example for us would be that money equals those things, prestige, power, position, and security. So maybe if we think of this in terms of Jesus choosing to act out this love in a way that required him to walk away from a vast fortune or to lose part of his family's estate or something that would mean he is leaving behind all of this security and power and prestige. But however we try to wrap our heads around it, the point is that this self-sacrificing love that Jesus models isn't about demeaning ourselves. It means loving the other person, acting out of love, even when it costs us something, even when it costs a lot. That is what Jesus was doing. And that's what he told his disciples that they were called to do. Having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. So what does that look like for us? What are some of the big and small ways that we can act out God's love, even when it costs us? Well, it might mean taking the time to check in on someone, even though you're really busy. Or coming to volunteer at the food pantry on a Saturday when you could be doing something else. It can mean sharing what we have, our money and our resources, with those who need it, even though it means there will be less for us. It might mean speaking up and speaking out against sexism, racism, anti-trans or anti-gay rhetoric, even though it might make people mad. even though it might make people dislike you or could even get you labeled as difficult at work. Anytime that we follow that path of loving one another, anytime we act out that love despite the cost, we're following Jesus' example. That is what Jesus did. He loved us. He loved the world. And he acted out that love in all that he did, despite the cost, even when it cost him his life. And that extreme love and devotion that Jesus demonstrated with his life, that extreme love and devotion is for us, all of us. There is nothing that we can do to deserve it, and there is nothing we can do that will exclude us from that love. That is what Jesus reveals to us in washing his disciples' feet and in the way he loved the world. Even in his death on the cross, all of it is a revelation of God's love. All of it is a revelation of the amazingly good news that God loves us above all else, no matter what. That is the love that we have been given, and that is the love that we are called to share. Thanks be to God. Amen.